there's three groups of people. When there's a crisis, there's three people you need to talk to, including your employees. You need to be your stakeholders, your suppliers, whatever, and to the public. You've got to get out there and tell your employees it's okay. You're going to be safe, and you need to tell the managers beneath you that, hey, you're going to be okay. Here's what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. But if you're not communicating on a crisis level, that's horrible. But a company that is always communicating with its employees, its stakeholders, its and the public, if it's always doing that, then it becomes just a kind of a natural thing.
Welcome to Audio Branding, the hidden gem of marketing. Sound plays a more important role in human behavior and our decision-making than you may realize. In this podcast, I'll help you understand the art and science of sound so you can better influence others in business and your life. I'm your host, Jody Krangle. Let's delve a little deeper. Here's the second part of my conversation with David Tyler.
Speaking of better communicating, can we talk about leaders here? Because you also do advising on that, right? So how can leaders better communicate?
Oh, that's my entire podcast. what I find is that leaders, managers, whatever you want to call them, CEOs, mm-hmm. I don't think that they're taught how to really communicate. And a lot of the times managers are just, you know, pushed up the ladder and given no training about how to be a better communicator. Mm-hmm. But I think probably the biggest thing that managers need to know is how to communicate vision. What is your vision of the company, the product, whatever, your department, whatever it is? How do you communicate that vision? Because if the people who are beneath you don't understand what your mission is, what you believe is true about the brand or the product, they're not going to perform at their best. So being able to communicate to the people who you're managing is probably the most important thing for a leader to do.
And so that would be emotionally connecting them to the vision?
Yes. Yeah. The whole, it's all in the book.
Well, yes, but not everybody has that book in front of them. Yeah, so that's why we're talking about it.
Yeah. I think that's probably the biggest thing. You look at Sir Richard Branson communicates his vision for his company all the time. Mm-hmm. It's nonstop. I read his newsletter that he has on LinkedIn, and it's nonstop. I mean, he's communicating that to us, right, on the people on the outside. But that, you know, over time transfers to, if there's a possibility that I could fly Virgin Air rather than, you know, Air Canada or whatever, maybe I'm going to try Virgin because of this mission, his mission that he's, mm-hmm. He's transmitting to us as outsiders. But he's constantly doing the same thing to the people that work beneath him. Richard Branson is a perfect example of the kind of leader, that I think all leaders should strive to be.
So a better communicator, someone who reaches out through newsletters, someone who isn't afraid to speak his mind.
Yeah, exactly. Lead us. Show us the way. Right?
Interesting. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
There is an episode of the podcast where we talk about crisis communication. Mm. And I haven't worked with a leader in that respect, but there's three groups of people. When there's a crisis, there's three people you need to talk to, including your employees. You need to be your stakeholders, your suppliers, whatever, and to the public. You know, there's a tragic case of the CEO of the health company.
Yes, yeah. Was it United Health?
United Health.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, he was the CEO, so his second in charge. I don't know because I haven't heard anything. Mm-hmm. You've got to get out there and tell your employees it's okay. You're going to be safe. And you need to tell your the managers beneath you that, hey, you're going to be okay. Here's what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. But if you're not communicating on a crisis level, that's horrible. But a company that is always communicating with its employees, its stakeholders, its and the public, if it's always doing that, then it becomes just a kind of a natural thing when something horrible like that happens.
Yeah. So the constant communication makes it not so unusual when there's a crisis.
That's right. Okay. And you know, one of the other things that I teach managers is that listening is 50% of the conversation. And I emphasize that with them. It's important to listen actively, to, you know, put away your phone, to put away any kind of distractions. And one of the things that that I tell them is before you're having a meeting, every meeting is important, but before you're having any meeting, especially one-on-one, is to take 5 minutes before and meditate, do whatever it is that you feel comfortable with, but take 5 minutes to clear your mind, because you know that, oh my God, I have to go and see my kids' teacher because he did something wrong. I gotta put the snow tires on. There's all of these things that will distract you mm-hmm. during that conversation that you're having. But you need to address those and then put them on the side and be 100% present for the person that you're speaking with. This is the key of active listening is you know, being 100% present.
Yeah, and a very good thing that I think a lot more people besides leaders could pay attention to. I mean, certainly when you're doing an interview on a podcast, for instance, mm-hmm. you want to be paying attention to what your guest is saying and talking about that. And active listening is a big part of that. I know I know you've said that you've now had a few guests on your podcast, although it's mm-hmm. not a regular thing.
No.
But the act of interviewing someone, the act of having a conversation that's a back and forth, has been a lot of what I've been learning doing this over 5 years. So
you have to be fully conscious. You have to be fully present.
Exactly. And it's harder than people think. I mean, this whole communication thing is very tough.
I'll tell you, for me, because I work at home. This is home. Mm-hmm. This is my library. My studio and my office is over there. But yep. I work
my
from home alone.
Studio's right there.
I work home alone. Most of the time, my girlfriend is here. She has her office here also, so she's in and out. Mm-hmm. But the act of having a human conversation like we're having right now is not the same as if we were working in an office. Have you ever worked in an office? You know what I mean?
It's been a while.
Yeah.
I think I've been self-employed since the year 2000.
Okay.
So, yeah.
But just being there, you know, water cooler talk or whatever it is, or stopping by so-and-so's desk and stealing a candy cane or something, you know, mm-hmm. that we don't have.
Yeah.
In this line of work.
The water cooler
chat.
So
this is a unique yes. opportunity to actually have a human-to-human conversation.
It's fun. It can be a lot of fun, yes. And I enjoy these. You know, I always enjoy getting to know the people that I have on the show better, because it's just, like you say, we spend a lot of our days alone talking to ourselves in our padded booths mm-hmm. or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's nice to have a human conversation. Yeah. So leaders definitely can learn a lot from how to communicate about how to communicate from, you know.
But most, like I said, most leaders don't get that kind of training.
Well, they don't have that time, I imagine. I mean, what happens, like you were saying, is they often get promoted before they have any training of any kind. They're just thrust into the situation and have to deal.
I've seen a lot of managers who are good at, that's the problem, I think. People who are really good at their jobs being made into a manager. And it's not the same job.
No, it's not.
It's not the same job at all. And what that manager tends to do is to micromanage the staff and do the work of whatever it is, seven people. So, I mean, you know, managers need training.
Very true. Yeah.
I know we're all super busy and pulled in so many different directions these days. So I wanted to take a moment to celebrate and thank the people who have taken the time to review this podcast. Lyrical 70 writes, "Great show. This show makes you think about sound in a whole new way. I would never have thought I'd find this so interesting, but I do, and her voice is so soothing. Thanks, Lyrical 70. I'm glad I've got you hooked. I hope you'll stick around because there's always more interesting discussions about sound coming up. And speaking of that, let's get back to the show. And also, managers, CEOs, leaders, they often get thrust into positions where they're in the media. And you talk about that as well, right? So how would you prepare someone for a media interview if they needed
Well, media training. Well, I've got a PDF on that, and I'm trying to remember all the 7 points that I have.
You don't have to give us all seven, but a couple of tips would be great.
Well, the first thing that you need to ask if the media comes to you as a leader and the media wants to interview you, okay? Why? Did something go wrong? Are you being sued? What's the purpose? Or is it just, oh, we just want to highlight a local business? So that's the first thing. Ask why. And a lot of the times, I mean, and then you need to ask, is it going to be live? Or is it going to be recorded? Is it going to be an hour interview, half hour interview? You need to know those kinds of basic details. Once you have that, you need to prepare. What do you think they're going to ask you? What do you think they're going to ask? And write those questions down and have a list of the questions with the answers so that you already have an answer that's quick. And, you know, you don't want to go as far as, a sports, somebody, you know, an athlete who gives those really short responses that actually say nothing. You could do that, but have a meaningful answer that doesn't take up too much space.
Okay.
And the reason for that is it gives the interview longevity, because they may come back a year later and go, oh, this is something really interesting that person said, and they may pull it out also. The shorter the clips are, the better. And the third point that I want to make is to have take the opportunity to say what you want to say.
Yes.
Politicians do this all the time. Yeah. All the time. Ask me a question. Ask me any question. What color is my hair? Ask me any question. Go ahead.
Actually ask you a question?
This is role play. Just say, what color is your hair?
What color is your hair, David?
That's a really, really good question, Jody. But I think what we should talk about is the finances financial problems we're having in Ottawa.
And
then you just continue to talk about. Right. So
okay.
You need to have. You need to have the things that you want the public to know ready to go, and find that way to weave those things into the interview. Those are the three things.
Got it. Okay.
And there's four more, but I can't remember them.
Well, you know what? If you can share that PDF or you can share a link, I can put it in the show notes.
We can do that.
We can certainly share it to people in the show notes so they can look at that themselves and get all of that detailed information that we like to give here. So what do you think are the worst mistakes that people make when it comes to communicating effectively?
The worst mistakes?
Yeah.
Is what?
There's bound to be a lot.
Is what?
When people are trying to communicate effectively.
What did you say? Not listening.
I see. Okay.
The biggest one.
More role play.
A little more
Pardon
role play.
Me. Okay.
So the biggest mistake people make is not listening.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That's kind of a joke, but in reality, it's not just about listening to the words that somebody's saying. I think that a really big mistake is people don't pay attention to what's not said. Reading between the lines, paying attention to the tone of what's being said and the body language. I forget the guy's name, but 7%, only 7% of what we communicate is the words.
Wow.
I forget the math now. 35% is tone of voice and 55% is body language. So the biggest mistake is people don't listen, but they're not listening with their eyes for the body language and listening for the tone of voice. The way that we communicate with each other communicates non-verbally. We're going to go back to music, because words are just information. It's just information. But the meaning comes between the words. And I've used this example before when we're talking about like music. Meaning happens between the words in the same way that a great musician, a musician can play a song. Mm-hmm. And then a great musician can take that exact same song, that exact same melody, and put so much meaning into it to drive you to tears, maybe, you know.
Sure.
My favorite instrument to listen to that I can't play is the cello.
Beautiful.
Because there's something about it. Maybe it's going back to the thunder thing.
It's a little mournful.
But, yeah, but there's something about it, the way that it resonates, physically yes. resonates with my own body. But mm-hmm. there's so much sadness in that. But there's also happiness within that instrument too. But at the hands of a skilled musician, they can add meaning to the notes, you know, when we are speaking. But you need to be listening for those things too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's something like vibrato in singing. Mm-hmm. Just a little bit. The way that the notes are colored mm-hmm. is very important in how we take the meaning. Yeah.
And it's a good thing that you said colors, because I'm talking about the colors of the voice.
Yes.
The seven colors of the voice. That's what it is. Most people misinterpreting it, mishearing it from somebody who's speaking to you, and maybe misuse it. Misuse it also. I was teaching it was a corporate webinar that I was doing. They had about 16 people, teaching them about the voice and the seven colors of the voice. And there was one, and I gave an example here. Can you hear? Each person got to read something, right? So it was mm-hmm. a workshoppy thing. And this one lady, everybody did great for voice actors, but one lady, I said, okay, here's the script, and she read it the exact same way all three times. I said, okay, now read it with excitement. Okay, now read it with sadness. And not everybody can do that. It does take time. It does take training. It does take confidence.
It takes understanding your instrument, which is your voice.
Understand the instrument. Understand the seven colors.
Do you want to sound your absolute best when you're being interviewed on a podcast or when you're hosting your own show? I have a podcast episode and free downloadable worksheet called Sounding Your Best as a Podcast Guest off of the audiobrandingpodcast.com main page. Just click on the little square graphic to the left of the player displaying my podcast trailer. It gives you some comprehensive suggestions for where to start or for improving the sound you already have, including the type of microphones to consider and why, ideas for soundproofing your recording environment, and suggestions on how to get the best sound when you're being remotely recorded on services like Riverside FM or Squadcast. Don't let bad audio quality hold you back from being the best podcast guest or host you can be. And of course, if you happen to need voiceover for your intro and outro, feel free to get in touch. I'm happy to help. And now, back to the podcast.
Definitely. Yes, that is really fascinating. Yeah. So can you say again the name of the book, just so people can look that up?
The name of my book is called Connect, A Field Guide for Master Communicators. It's a very easy read. Like I said, it's about 112 pages. And at the end of each chapter is the key takeaway, which mm-hmm. is like the one that I read with you. And then sure. each chapter has five things to try. Try this real world tips at the end of each chapter.
Interesting. Okay. Well, that'll be a lot of fun for people to try out. Yeah, definitely. So before we end here, because we're coming to the close here, pretty close to it, I want to get a little philosophical with you. And I want to ask you why you think sound is important.
Why?
In our lives, in your daily life. What does sound mean to you?
I think that sound is the essence of living. Alan Watts is probably my favorite philosopher. Mm-hmm. You could probably find it on YouTube. It's a YouTube video called Life is Not a Journey. The meaning of life isn't the end, it's actually the journey. And he talks about how, you know, when we're born and we go to school and there's always something else to come. And we think, okay, now we've achieved greatness. Now we've come to the height of life. But then there's always something more. And the more that we in our modern society keep chasing things, the more we're missing. And he likens the idea to an orchestra. To an orchestra. It's about life is about the song. It's not just about the ending, reaching that achievement. He says otherwise you would go to see a band performing a concert and there would just be the big crash at the end. Padam, and everybody would applaud and be happy. It's not life is not about the life is about the journey. Mm-hmm. Even though in the video says life is not about the journey, life is the journey, and that journey is like music, and mm-hmm. it's sound.
That is a very important point, and I totally agree. Yeah, I think music really makes our life worth living too. There's something to be said for making it and listening to it and letting it influence our emotions and how it inspires us and. Mm-hmm. picks us up when we're feeling down and actually this is something that AI doesn't quite get, because we've talked I don't think that we've talked about AI, but right. in the idea of AI understanding human beings, one of the things it doesn't understand is the fact that we listen to sad songs to make us feel better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's contrary. It's not literal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
the thing is this, what I teach is heart-centered communication. Mm-hmm. And what artificial intelligence doesn't have is heart. And heart comes from our unique experiences that color, you know, our perception of the world. And artificial intelligence. It's not artificial emotion. And for that reason, when we're talking about AI in terms of voiceover, it's never going to be able to do what we do. It can emulate it. It can be kind of close to what we do, but it can never be what we are because of our unique experiences in life and how we interpret things. So artificial intelligence, sure, but it's not artificial emotion.
It's not artificial experience either.
Unless they can figure out how to do that.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. The experience is what colors what comes out. So the background and understanding from a human place of existence that isn't there. Yeah, I mean, I think it has its place. I think it's a useful tool, but I don't, you know, I don't like the idea that it would ever replace us. That would be counterintuitive.
I submitted a project to one of my longtime clients. It was a corporate video, mm-hmm. and he knows my voice, and we worked together for years, for like mm-hmm. 10, 12 years on various projects. And he got back the audio, and he says, "It sounds too AI." Hmm. And I was, "What do you mean?"
Interesting.
It was a combination of, he sent me the French version. A lot of times I'll do the English version of a French video. So he sent me the French one. So I kind of went with the vibe of the music mm-hmm. And the vibe of that voice. And I did my usual thing, but he came back and he said, "Is it possible for us to do it different? You know, it sounds a little too AI."
Yeah.
And I said, "Well, that's the way the script was written." You know, there were no contractions. Everything was "I will" and "you can"
see. Okay.
And,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
et
cetera.
Are you enjoying this podcast? If so, it would really help me out if you'd give it a review. The best place to do that in written format is at the bottom of the audiobrandingpodcast.com page. And if you want to do that in voice format, there's a link in the ending paragraph at the top of that same page. I would so appreciate that. It helps me to know what you'd like to hear more of and why you're listening in the first place. As podcasters, we rarely know who's actually listening, so it helps me to know that I'm not just speaking into the void. Thanks for that. And now, back to the show.
So what's the fix for that? Like, I'm curious, like, because he was hearing something. So what was he hearing and how do you fix it?
I would go through the script again. And that's way too big of a thing to do. But I would go through the script again and make it a little more conversational. Isn't that your favorite thing? Here's a script. Make it conversational, but it's not written as a conversation.
Yes, script. Exactly. That happens all the time to us, doesn't it? Yeah.
A lot of the times during auditions, I'll change things.
Yes.
If that's what they're saying, you want conversational, then I'm going to change a few things around.
Yeah, that makes sense, definitely.
Contractions.
Yes. Yeah.
Wouldn't,
putting a little more.
Couldn't.
Yes. Yeah. Being a little more casual. That's a good thing.
You probably already heard this joke about this woman who was going into labor and suddenly she started screaming out, wouldn't, shouldn't, couldn't. And the doctor was like, what's going on? And her husband says, don't worry, it's just contractions.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And on that note,
I think that was a C sharp.
Yeah. How can people get in touch with you if they'd like to, David?
They can visit my website, davidtylerspeaks.com. There's a form on there that you can fill out. And you can listen to my podcast also through the website. You can email me.
What's the podcast called?
The podcast is called The Master Communicator.
Okay.
Or great. The Master Communicator, however you know.
However you want to put it, yes. Okay.
You can send me an email, david@davidtylerspeaks.com.
Great. Thank you so much, David. This has been
a lot of
fun.
Thanks, Jody.
Well, that's the end of this episode. Thanks for listening. And if you like what you heard, why not tell a friend about this podcast? It's available in all the usual locations. Until next time.